welcome back to the Sam T Blues Review. Joining me now over the phone is a guy we've talked to a couple times here on the show, Brian Scanlon. He is the owner and operator of the Chicago Blues Mobile out of, you guessed it, Chicago, Illinois. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing well, Sam. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Can't complain. So I know last time we talked, you were kind of in the process of planning to build the speaker to go on the roof of the Blues Mobile. It's now done. It's been done for a little while, and of course it looks fabulous, just like everything about your car. So if you could talk me through a little bit building that, how you find all the pieces and stuff.
Oh, most definitely, Sam. And again, thank you very much for the compliment. The speaker is a replica Canadian civil defense siren. What they used in the Blues Brothers was a replica of what Dan Aykroyd would have seen in Toronto during his childhood. So the more research I was doing on this speaker, I'm like, okay, well, I want it to look like the movie, but like everything else with the car, it's kind of a homogenized version.
Right.
So I went with the movie version and a real CLM speaker and kind of found a middle ground between the two that I could replicate on my car. That way, it doesn't look out of place. It doesn't look too far in one direction or the other. So I'm very pleased with how it turned out. It is huge.
It is big, and yeah.
Yes, definitely. But going back to the build itself, you know, one of the things that kind of bothered me with a lot of the replica speakers out there is they're too small. Definitely the proportion was key for me. So with looking at the measurements and finding some real measurements online, I went to a sheet metal company in the next town over, Summit, Illinois, and they built me the main outer shell of the speaker out of 20 gauge steel. And that's where the project kind of died for a year. I left it in my garage. I don't know if I told you this, Sam, but I didn't want to do the speaker at all.
You did. I remember you told me that before.
Yes. Yes. It's like, why? It's in the movie for all of 5 minutes, but it was the number one requested piece. Where's the speaker? Where's the speaker? So I built it finally. With the outer shell as a starting point, I found a real Atlas loudspeaker that fit in the dimensions. From there, the rest of the speaker was fairly easy. I really wanted to make sure it looked like a real civil defense speaker. I wanted to make sure it had that industrial look. So I went with huge PVC plumbing pipes. I think the pipe between the main speaker and the rear ear horn is 8 inches in diameter. We found some PVC flanges that are just monstrous to combine the two. And I went with full-size bolts. I think that's the majority of the weight is the hardware itself. The individual pieces are all fairly light, but as a whole and with the base, it became pretty heavy. But I'm happy. It turned out great. I get a lot of compliments. Yeah. I did do it as close to movie accurate as possible. The only deviation from screen is that I said, well, since I'm having this huge speaker on the roof and the mounts raise it up even higher, let me use the side of it as a kind of a billboard for me. So last year for Wizard World, I had made these police barriers that replicate the Chicago police barriers that the Bluesmobile crashes through towards the end of the movie. And essentially all I did was I chopped it in half, and then I just kind of stenciled in my website name. So other than that, it's pretty darn close to movie accurate.
You on the motorcycle, you two girls, tell your friends. The Sam T Blues Review is every Wednesday night at 8 with real blues musicians and live blues music. Only on 97.7 The Bolt. Listen online at 977thebolt.com. So another pretty cool thing that happened since we last talked was your car was featured on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I know we promoted that a little bit here, but the show, you know, wasn't going to air for months, so it finally aired just last week. Just want to know your thoughts on that.
Well, just like everyone else that saw it for the first time, I I was a little surprised. You know, they didn't give me a lot of information on how they used the car or what they did with it. You know, they just gave me some preliminary things, and when they crashed it into the dumpster, I was like, no, they didn't.
I had a mini heart attack for you when I saw that. I'm like, oh, no.
You know, and it's kind of funny. They filmed the episode last year, and when it came back, you know, obviously I did a walk around on the car, and I did notice, you know, some scuffs on the front push bars, and I just assumed they bumped it into a parking barrier or,
right.
You know, a high curb when they were parking it somewhere, and I just let it go because there was no damage, and sure enough, those are from the dumpster, so that will stay on the car.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was a little put off a little bit because, you know, they didn't even touch on that it was a Bluesmobile.
Yeah.
They specifically set out last year for a Bluesmobile.
Right.
So I don't know if it was legal or they didn't want to mess with Universal Studios or what. For whatever reason, they refer to it as, you know, the Dodge Monaco. Seth said the Blues Brothers car, and Jerry's like, yeah, kind of. And that's all they mentioned of it. That was a little disappointing. I felt that, you know, they could have went to any picture rental studio in California and found an older cop car if that's all they wanted.
Right.
Obviously, they're not going to give me an explanation, but that'll be one of the great mysteries is why that, you know, didn't play out.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume it's that they probably wanted to do it. They probably wanted to make it a true Blues Brothers kind of tribute, and then, like you said, for whatever reason, Universal wouldn't let them. I mean, I would assume not on camera that Seth Rogen and probably even Seinfeld were a lot more excited about it and knew, obviously, what the car was. But you're right, just watching it back, it's like, when are they going to mention it? When are they going to, like, show scenes from the movie?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, at the end of the day, they used it. They seemed to enjoy it. It was a great experience having it on the show.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, a lot of great shots of the car, a lot of great exposure, so... You know, I'm still happy. You know, I don't regret doing it. I'm very happy that I had the opportunity, and at least I could say that, you know, hey, it was on TV and it was with these guys, and that's a pretty cool thing.
So as you know, Brian, we are live at the East 95th Street Bridge, where the Bluesmobile left through the air, landed safely on the other side, en route to visit the Penguin. You're smarter than me when it comes to Blues Brothers. Not a lot of people are, but you are. What can you tell me? What can you tell me about this specific location at the bridge?
So, well, a number of things. The bridge, it's an iconic scene in the movie, and it sets the whole tone for what's to come. The bridge is an actual bridge in 95th Street of Chicago. It's been in service since 1958. It's the third bridge on that site. Surprisingly, it's the longest lasting. It is
really?
Still the same exact bridge, yes. They had one in 1902 and I think one in the early 1920s, which was replaced by this one in 1958. And other than the actual color of the bridge, it's the same bridge. They used to paint bridges white. They now went with a maroon color throughout the city, so... That is the only visual difference. The funny thing about the bridge, though, is it is a counterbalanced bridge, meaning both sides are evenly weighted to lift the bridge. So any deviation from that weight would cause one side to either go higher or lower than the opposite. So what that means to us Blues Brothers fans is that the car would never have been able to jump the bridge in real life because by the time the Monaco, which is 4,000 pounds, got to the end of that bridge, it would have been going directly into the other side of the bridge head on. So, fun little fact, the Bluesmobile would have ended up in the Calumet River.
That's funny. I think we should do a separate segment where we just find all the inaccuracies in the Blues Brothers.
There you go.
So I understand just on the other side of the bridge, that's where they filmed that poster, is that right?
Absolutely, yes. Currently, it is Crowley's Yacht Yard, but formerly that was part of the Southworks U.S. Steel site that encompassed the majority of that area at the time. And the car is actually not part of the area where they would keep the iron ore to make steel. That's all the black stuff is. People think it's often coal, but it's not. Yes, it's been cleaned up since U.S. Steel left 25 years ago, but it's still there, and they'll still let you go in there and take a look at that bridge, and you can usually get a shot of your car in the same position, so it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool that they'd let you do that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So, speaking of Steelworks, that beginning shot where we see that factory, where's that filmed at?
That is the former site. It is all gone now.
That's the same area?
Same area. Okay. It might have started in parts of, you know, Gary and Hammond, but right up to that area. So they might have started off a little bit in Indiana, because some of those places are still in existence, and slowly went past South Chicago.
Cool.
But yeah, those were all the former sites, a now defunct steel industry in South Chicago.
Yeah, so much history around here, man.
There is. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's not
just Blues Brothers history. I mean, just all the steelworks and stuff. It really, you know, it's not only a snapshot of Chicago, but it's a specific snapshot of Chicago, you know, during the 70s and 80s, which is really cool to see, too.
It is very cool.
Well, Brian, that's about all I got for you, but I do appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk with me.
Oh, anytime, Sam. I do appreciate you giving me a call, and I look forward to the next time we have a chat.